Okay, so last week we learned Perek Vav, Simen Aleph in the Memoroim, Chelek Aleph, where he's discussed what the importance of knowing the difference between the Chosin and Ma'ula and between the Kovish Es Yitzra of Amoshel Ben Nafshoi. The Rambam goes into and spends and designates a special Perek for this as Akdamas to Ovis. So he explained the need for such yediyah is that the yediyahs that we have, actually helps bring along the manifestation of that yediyah, and that could work for both positive or negative chas v'shalom. And then he discussed the fact that in the rotzon of the Jewish person, there's a koyach of ishavus, there's a koyach of bringing into existence, meaning there's a certain koyach of creation in the rotzon of a Jew. And therefore he says that if one attributes the derech mu'uleh to that of the, you know, if one attributes that the derech mu'uleh is the kovish es yitzro, and that the kovish es yitzro is better than the derech of the chassid, who doesn't have the fight with the yetzer, right? He's pure, really. So then that is going to necessitate the ra in the person, chas v'shalom. It's going to actually like bring the ra about in the person, that it should exist, and then he'll have a fight with. So, and if he's yitzuyer, if he's mitzayer inside of him, that there is no evil at all, then be'emes, there's not going to be any evil by him. So I'd comment that a person, however much a person is able to purify his rotzen and his thought to kind of take away the realness of evil, to that extent, he will actually really eradicate the evil from within inside of him. That was basically the gist, the summary of what he discussed. And that's what he said is the avoid of the chassid, the hamu'ule, which Rambam discusses, that kind of doesn't have that fight anymore, is he reaches that point that in his realm there's no real metzias of ra. And we mentioned, and we'll speak about it more as we do the next few shiurim, is that of course he doesn't mean in a naive way that you don't recognize and you can't identify evil. Obviously that's not the kavana. The kavana is that you realize the transient nature of ra, that there's no essence to it, there's no true essence to it. And like we mentioned, based on the principle in Shas, and all those, right? Those principles of kala imid in Shas, is so the same thing is with the ra. We know that in the future, the ra will be eradicated from the world, right? It's gone, so it really doesn't have any true essence to it. It's something that's transient. And even though our experience in life and experience in the world doesn't seem to fit that, right? We're supposed to work on ourselves to get to get to the point where inside of ourselves we really eradicate the reality of evil. And by eradicating the reality of evil, it will actually kind of eradicate the evil from within us. Okay, so this is obviously a very deep idea, and I mentioned, and that's where I wanted to learn this piece, is that this idea was a focal point in Rav Chalap's defense and explanation of the controversial statements that were published, that were written by Rav Kook and published in the Sefer Orot, which, you know, draw a great amount of heat by certain elements in the Haredi Tzibur. It wasn't everyone, but there were certain elements that spoke about it very strongly. And historically speaking, as went on, it became more and more, to attack those statements of Rav Kook. And the truth of the matter is, I want to read to you that paragraph, the specific paragraph. It's not just one, but it was mostly one paragraph that was focused on. But before we do that, let's first read the introduction to this little chibur. This is the letter of Rav Kook's defense and explanation, really, of Rav Kook's position, which is called Toivim Ma'oris. I printed it out for you guys from Eitzar Chochma. Actually, it is in the Madurat Bnei Yeshiva, surprisingly enough. it wasn't censored out. So we have the go ahead from Eitzar Chochma. So the introduction is written by the one who wrote the letter to Rav Harlap, asking for explanation. It's this I don't know who he is, a Reb or Rav, I don't know, Isaac Men Toivim. I don't know anything about him. So he starts off, Keshebali Yadi Hasefe Oros or Orot Shabina Akoin Agodol Isha Eshkoiles Pe'er Dereinu Rav Avram Yitzhak Kohen Kuk Shlita Ubi'iyanti Bo Besum Lev. And when I was ma'ayin into it, right, carefully paying attention, Matzasi Beprakim Achadim, I found in a number of chapters Mivta'im V'ayanot Bekitzur, expressions, ways of expression and ideas written in shorthand, hanotni makom lebikoret, that lend themselves to criticism, ubiyichud haperek lamed dalet shebo Eiros HaTchiyah, and specifically in the section of the Sefer which is called Eiros HaTchiyah, chapter 34. Vavki talisi es hasfeker seilu bi ba'atzmi lekoitzer hamasik v'hem mekam usak, and even though I was tailor those sveikas that I had to the fact that I am lacking and the depth of the written material which Rav Kook wrote, but chozos nevertheless mehavati shani ohevet et isha mafet, from my love that I love that amazing person, that amazing man, umisimchati shani sameach bo. Right, and from my happiness that I'm always happy with him, and I drink and thirst all his words that go out from his holy mouth and speaks gems, and I didn't want to leave in my heart unanswered questions. And I wanted to turn to Rabbeinu. I wanted to turn with my questions to Rav Kook. But since he wasn't then in Yerushalayim, and he didn't know when he would get back, and I just couldn't hold back the desire of my heart, couldn't contain, right, to clarify the things. So I turned with this to one of his close confidants, Asher Hoido Alov Harav, right? Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chaylap Shlita, Venezka Badeti Mimenu Betshuva Aruka, Dvarim Yikarim, Venizkavim, Hayotzim Mitoch Tocha, Shel Nishmato HaTorah, Shinuch HaDati. And I was honored with a long answer of very dear and amazing, lofty things that go out, words that go out from the insides of his pure, that went out from the insides of his pure neshama, sheinichu edati, that, you know, calmed me down. They were satisfying. V'achshov lo lemotar lefarsem et hatshuva hazot, and I think it's not, it would not be excessive. It wouldn't be, you know, it wouldn't be a waste to publicize this answer. She or kros ledivra ben shlita, which is like a very wonderful light, and lights up, illuminates the words of Rabbeinu Shlita. So this was published really in Rav Kook's lifetime. V'ani sameach ki nizgalgel zchus al yadi lafitz achutz edvarim niskovim kei lektani hakamut v'rabbei echut. And I'm happy that the zchus, you know, rolled through me, came about through me, to spread out these very high things, which are small in quantity and great and much in quality. Okay, so Eben Nirtzev, a Kofetz Rabbanim Atamidein, Isaac Ben Toivim. So that's his introduction. So before we continue, I want to read to you, I did not photocopy this one, but Ois Lamedalit, in Eir Satchia, Perek Lam and Dalan Eir Satchia. It's probably also not Eir Satchia. I didn't actually say, but I'm pretty sure it's not. Not yet, Bez Hashem. So it could be that some of you have read probably only a chopped up version of this paragraph at times. Anyone, for example, who's read the art scroll book called Guardian of Jerusalem on the life of Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, they indeed bring a translation of this of some of this chapter, making sure to leave out any parts that will justify Rav Kook's statements. Okay, so it's literally chopped up, and it's a very disgusting disgusting way to that they quoted it there. It's just unfair. And if you're making a quote, especially if you're translating a controversial quote, then it behooves one to bring it in its full context, and not leave the parts out that might lead the reader to actually understand what's written there and actually sympathize perhaps with the position. So this is what's written. Now, first of all, I'll say more than that. Huh? The English book?
No.
Oh, this is Orot, Sefer Orot. So, before I say, besides that, on the top, they make a comment, if I remember correctly, I'm pretty sure. I don't have the book, I would not buy it. But I think that they wrote Rav Kook's comments about soccer playing. I think that was the Lashon that they used in the text above. And on the bottom, they brought the quote. And that's also a fake. Rav Kook doesn't mention the word soccer. This is a thing that was pushed by the Mefitze Shkarim, right? Those who spread lies against Rav Kook is that he, wrote positively about soccer playing and was matir and said it's a big, big holy thing to play soccer also on Shabbos. And then the truth of the matter is that anyone that knows Rav Kook's writings or anyone that went into the history and looked at some of the Pashkevilim in the newspaper and stuff that was printed in those days, Rav Kook wrote very, very strongly against playing soccer on Shabbos, of course. And so it's just, absolute, just one of the few, one of the number of Shkarim that was publicized over the course of many, many years and continues to be publicized. Now, what Rav Kook does write about was the first word in the chapter, and that's what the word is Hahit Amlut. Hahit Amlut, which in modern day Hebrew, right, it's really the word is just a modern day Hebrew word, really, is the word which means exercise. Okay? And I'll get back to what he means by this, but let's first read it. Hahit Amlut, the exercise. Shetzi'ire Yisrael Oskim Ba Be'eretz Yisrael Lechazeket Gufam. That the youths of Israel busy themselves with it in Eretz Yisrael to strengthen lechazeket gufam, to strengthen their bodies, b'shvil liyos bonim amitze koech l'uma, in order to be like strong children for the nation, okay, to be well fit and well, for the nation. He mishachlelet. It complements, it means complements, it complements the spiritual koyach of the tzadikim elyonim, the very high tzadikim, who busy themselves with unifications of the holy names, meaning with even tremendous tzadikim that are oisik and yichudim, meditations and, right, big. It means to complement. That's what it means to make into a full picture, to come together, to complete. Like the Lashon is the Lashon Azari also, the Shtachlo, to complete.
Improving,
no? Not improving, it's the complement. It's to be mashlim something. So, it complements the Koich HaRuchni of the Tzadikim Elyonim, who are Oisik in the Yechudim, unifications of the Shemas HaKdoshim, right, which is a very big Kabbalistic. It's a big Kabbalistic Avoida. Laharbois, they complement it, Laharbois, Havlotas O'or Eloki Bo'olam. to increase the expression of light, the protrusion of light, of godly light in the world. Ve'ein giloy or echad oimid bloy chaveri klal. And no revelation of one light stands without the other. In other words, you need the hit'amlut for the avoda satzadikim also to become expressed into the world. And you, of course, you need their light of the avoda satzadikim for the success of this, of these Tzeira Yisrael, these Jewish youths who are working in exercise to strengthen their bodies on behalf of the nation. Okay,
and they, the behalf of the nation thing. Okay, so that's
oh, exactly. Right. This is an overlooked, word, which is very crucial, very important. Vayas David Shom. So he brings down Chazal, the pasuk Vayas David Shom. David did over there. V'David Osa Mishpatot Tzdakal Chol Amoi. V'Yoyev Ben Sruya Ala Tzava. Right, David did Mishpatot Tzdakal to his whole nation. He was the Sanhedrin. He was the right Danim and Danim the Torah. And Yoav ben Tzruya was the one that was in charge of the army. So there's a chazal that says that David couldn't do his avod if Yoav hadn't done his avod. You couldn't have the army without David, and you couldn't have David's learning without Yoav's army. That's what the chazal said. That's what he's hinting to. He just writes a very shorthand. And Abner was only punished because he made the blood of the youths into a game. In other words, like he was mezalzel in that, right? Like as if it's like just a game. But that the youths should play, so to say, in order to be mechazik their koyach and their spirit, on behalf of the might of the nation in its entirety, in its wholeness. This holy work elevates the Shechina high up, like the Shechina is elevated through shiras and sishbachos, through songs and praises of Hashem. She'omar David Melch Yisrael b'Sefer Tehillim, that David Melch said in Sefer Tehillim. So this is usually the part, like up to here is basically what's usually quoted. So it looks as if he's saying, the way it's presented is playing soccer. That's the way they present it, right? Playing soccer is just as chashuv as the, tzaddikim who are doing meditations and unifications of Hashem's name and learning Torah and Tehillim. Same. And that's not what he said. He said that they both help elevate the Shechina. And now here's where he makes the distinction. This is the part that's usually omitted from anyone bringing it down. Ella, however, shall yedei hakavonis hel yoinois oila haneshama apnimis. Except that through the higher kavonis that he mentioned of the unifications of God's name and stuff like that, right? Oila haneshama apnimis, the inner part of the neshama, the inner neshama is elevated. Whereas through the actions that strengthen the body of the individuals on behalf of the klal, on behalf of the general body of Jewish people, is elevated the external spirituality. But both together complement each other and complete the orders of the holiness, right, in their entirety, ba'avlatat ofya shel uma beparsha ketana shekol gufei Torah tluyim bo, by being mavlit, which is by expressing, by emphasizing the nature of the nation in that small parsha, which all the bodies of the Torah are dependent on, which is, meaning that's like this is the fundamental cornerstone of Torah, in all your pathways you should know him, in all your ways you should know him. In other words, like we saw in the Rambam, that we right, the Rambam in Shmaya Prokem said this, you say that bechol drachecha de'eil, and he made a big thing out of this. That's the major That's the overwhelming major hashkafa that we're supposed to have, is that in every single aspect of our life, whether it's spiritual, physical, anything we do, right, should be geared to getting us to a level of de'eu, of Yediyas Hashem. So, therefore he says that in the physicality as well, there's an Avodas HaKodesh. There's an Avodas HaKodesh which is contained in this comment, in this statement of right, that kol gufei Torah tlui bo b'chol drachecha de'eu. Now, v'al yipale, and don't be bewildered, right? Don't be so shocked, really. Im yesh chisronot b'malach ha'chayim shel ha'oskim b'imutz ha'gufayim, if there are deficiencies in the way of life of those who are busy with the physical exercise and the physical strengthening, ubechol ha'chizukim ha'artziyim shel Yisrael, and b'chlal in all the physical strengthenings that are going on in the Jewish people, right? Meaning, like, let's say, forming the governments and working on the technical and the what they had in those days. They still have some at Karen Kayem Israel and all these different organizations, like the, we're trying to build infrastructure, all the like physical kind of stuff, right? The Zionists, right? That's who was really referring to. That all they have tremendous deficiencies in their mahalach ha'chayim. So how could it be? Yeah, don't be so shocked by that. Because even the appearance of Ruach HaKodesh tzricha birur mitaroivas tzachtzuchei tumah shemisarvim bo. Even the appearance and the occurrence of Ruach HaKodesh needs selection from a taroivas. Right? You need to weed out the bad from Ruach HaKodesh as well. Tzachtzuchei tumah, which are like, right, tzachtzuchim is like you have by cholov, right? Tzachtzuchei cholov is like the little congealed parts of what are fatty parts, the psoilus that's in the milk, right? So the same thing, there's the little psoilus of tuma that are in there, shemis arvimba, that are mixed into it. Right? This is based on that Rizal, that he says that even Ruach HaKodesh sometimes has some kind of psoilus in it that you have to know how to weed out, that the Baal Ruach HaKodesh has to know that this is not really part of the good Ruach, it's not a reliable part of the Ruach HaKodesh. Very, very scary thing, right? But that's what that Rizal says. So he says, even the Ruach HaKodesh needs some kind of a beer on it. And it goes and makes pure, right? Becomes pure and becomes holy and is selected. I mean, it goes through this process of cleansing. Poides atzma migalusa, reveals itself. Okay? Reveals what's the Lashana Poide again? It redeems itself from its golos, from its exile. Ad sheba leklal derech tzadikim, until it comes to the klal of the derech tzadikim, v'or noige, and the amazing light, hoylich v'or ad nochin ayoyim, until it's like shines. And it was the Ruach HaKadosh itself goes through a process of bira until it really gives off its full shine in the beautiful way where the psalus is no longer there. So he says, if we find that by the holy, the top end of Kedusha, right? We find that in the highest points. So even Ruach HaKodesh, it has to undergo some kind of birur process. So certainly when we're dealing with the physicality aspect of serving Hashem, that's going to have to go through a birur process. So therefore, what you see that there are so many chesroinus by these people that are so focused on the physical parts of helping the Jewish people, you shouldn't be shocked. Yeah, it's going to take a birur process. It's going to take time till we're able to weed out the bad from them and then have only the only good left. Okay? So, it is obvious why this piece is, was emotionally, how would you say it? Was stirring and disturbing to many. Of course, like I said, part of it was misinformation, but even after you take out the misinformation, there certainly is going to need to be a Hesber and explanation, because we're not used to hearing this kind of talk. And so it's like this. Just before we get to Rabbi Yaakov Moshe's part, I just want to unmask the piece a little bit. Hahitamlut what Rav Kook is referring to, this is actually a set of Sfarim called, it's really a academic work. It was written by a Yeshua Be'eri, what's the Be'eri for? I'm not sure. Yeshua Bet Be'eri. And in Chelek Gimel, he brings this piece, and he goes through the, you know, an attempt to understand it. He really collects. It's not just he collects the different stuff that's been written about it, and you know, and basically what it comes out from here is that the word Hitamlut, he actually brings a number of different proofs to this from the writings in those days of different groups of these youths. The word Hitamlut in a number of Irgunim, of organizations in those days, which were not religious, was used as a key word for like security issues. They used that as a key word for like bitachon, like taking care, like, you know, you had you also had it in the Irgun HaAganah, right, which was, the Haganah was like eventually became part, you know, the base or part of the army, right? So that was used, and that was in during the British Mandate. So they used the word Hitamlut as like a key word for defense, of helping defend the Jewish people. So Rav Kook was obviously was close to all the discoverers, and therefore he was using this word because this was the key word. This was like a coined word for those who were defending the Jewish people in Israel, that was trying to, you know, physically defend. The reason they had this word, and as opposed to it, is because it was illegal in those days to have your own, you know, own defense squads. It was under Turkish rule when this was written, when Rav Kook's comments was written, and then afterwards you had the British rule. So it took time, right? This was all illegal activity. So Rav Kook, when he's writing, is clearly writing to that. And but moreover, if you just look at the word, what he's saying, he's not talking about people playing sports. He's talking about people that are doing exercise, and he reiterates it. Lechazik es gufam. He always adds in b'shvil liyos bonem amitzei koyach l'uma. And then he says afterwards, right? B'shvil gvuras ha'uma bechlala. They're doing it not just because it's fun, not because it's a cultural thing, but because they're trying to help out the nation. They're trying to, right? They're trying to build here a strong body, which was needed for protecting, for defense reasons. So that's just the technical side of it that certainly puts things into perspective. Nevertheless, that said, it still was a shocking thing for many people to see such a thing, that we would look at those, let's say, irreligious people that are doing these very mundane things, have absolutely no concern, let's say, for anything Yiddish, for anything Jewish, for any of the Torah, if anything, maybe many of them were mamish against. And you're going to put them on, you're going to speak about them in the way that they're elevating the Shekhinah. What do you mean? They're Mechal Shabbos. They're mighty treif. They're not makbid on Tumah V'Tarah, on Tumah V'Tarah. Like, how could you say that they're elevating the Shekhinah? And how could you put them in the same sentence and say that they're complimenting the Avodas HaKodesh of Tzadikim, who are learning and being Isaac in meditations and Yichud Hashem? And you know, and of course you'll have, like, how could you compare them to Yoav and David? Yoav was a tzaddik. The fact that Yoav was in charge of the army, okay, but he was a tzaddik, he wasn't an irreligious person, right? So by him, yeah, the army could have been Avodas HaKodesh, but by them, Mechatesi, to say that it's Avodas HaKodesh. All these things, of course, triggered a very, very, very difficult response by those who, anyway, really did not like Rav Kook. So this was kind of like food for, you know, for him being makar of them too, you know, and supporting Zionism in the way they did. So this was certainly food for the fire, right? Okay, so we'll have a few minutes to right now to at least begin, but let's start seeing Rav Yaakov Moshe's answer to this. And again, we're not aiming at all to take a position on any of this. We're just the main focus for us is the way Rabbi Yaakov Moshe describes and goes into the koich of ratzon that we have, because that is something that is very, very, you know, very, very chashuv for us to take note of and realize in building our own avodas Hashem. Its application on politics, we won't, is not our, not our concern. Okay. So we'll skip the let's see, how do you have it? That, yeah, the like kind of opening paragraph we'll skip for now. We'll just start from Hazchus Ayersa Gdoila. Okay. Hazchut Ayoter Gdola Vayoter Makifa Shebechol Yikum Bekol Nimtza. The biggest merit, the biggest chus, and the most encompassing chus in the whole universe and everything that's found in this verse. Who zchut osher v'yipay akoyach shel bechira is the zchus, the fortune, you know, a fortune, and the beautying, and or not beautying. Yipay akoyach means the like we have what's it called in when you have yipay akoyach, power of attorney, right? We call it power of attorney of bechira. In other words, who's the real boicher? The real boicher, the real one who only had, the only one that really has free choice, is the Rabbeinu Shleiman, and he bestowed upon us. He gave us that power of attorney of bechira. Right. The reason that we have bechira is because he gave us, endowed us with his koyach bechira kiviyachol. Kol aliyah v'yirida, every ascent and every descent, v'gam etzem kiyum kol ayesh, and also the very sustaining of everything that there is, hakol nidon al pishif as Hashem hagnuzah bebechira, is all kind of judged based on the flow, the hidden flow of Hashem in bechira. Like Chazal say, kol ma'ase bereishis ledaita nivro, all of ma'ase bereishis was created ledaiton, by their own das. Right, originally every bria was in on their creation. They gave their das. It's like, yes, I want to be created like that. Habechira hi achata yitzirot. Afterwards, the brios were taken. Bechira was taken away from all of creation, except from mankind. I think I remember seeing somewhere in Rabbi Yaakov Moshe's, one of his writings. I haven't been able to track it down recently. I think he says that the reason Eretz Yisrael is called Eretz Habechira, in some places it's called Eretz Bechira, is because Eretz Yisrael is the only land that kept its, that Hashem left Bechira by it, as you see that it says that the land spits out the Rishayim. So you see that there's a Kreich Bechira by Eretz Yisrael. That's what's called Eretz Bechira. Now, HaBechira Hi Achat HaYetzirot HaYotel Niflaot B'Kol HaYekum. It's one of the Bechira, right? Free will, free choice, is one of the amazing creations in the entire universe. V'hihi golata koteret shelo, and it's the overall like title of the creation. Ha'adam asher b'koyach bechiros boicher b'toyv v'bara, man who through his koyach bechira chooses good or bad, bocher gam be'etzem achaim, is really chooses also in the very essence of life. Hachayim v'amavus nasati lufanecha habrocha v'aklola v'charta b'chayim l'mantichya atov v'zarecha. Right? Life and death I gave before you. Brocha and klola, and you should choose life. Meaning we choose life. We choose the essence of life. In order l'mantichya atov v'zarecha. V'cheinu b'chol yekum v'amatsuy. And the same is true of the whole universe and everything that's found in the universe. Beloy rotzin bechirov lavayosoy ein avaya metzius. Without the rotzin of his bechirov, right, his chosen people, so to say, but with their bechirov to its existence, then there really is not going to be any existence. There's no havaya and there's no metzius. Knesses Yisrael beroyf plius kedushas elokus. The Knesses Yisrael, which is really the kind of Nishmas Yisrael, that's really what Knesset Yisrael, the concept of Knesset Yisrael is not just Klal Yisrael in the sense of the Jewish people, it's really the spiritual core of the Jewish people. Beroyf plius kedushasa, and it's amazing hidden kedushasa like this, and it's amazing godly holiness. Hihi ham yuedet. It is the one designated me'oz from the beginning. Lahanig es kol ginzia bechira, to lead all the treasures of the bechira. Ubishvil kach Yisrael hem yisodi ha'olam, and for that reason, Yisrael are the pillars of the world, the foundations of the world. Umikime kol yakum, and they're the ones that are allowing the whole and giving sustenance and existence to the whole universe. Loi nivra ha'olam ela b'shvil Yisrael shenikra reishis ubishvil ha'Torah shenikra reishis. Like Chazal say, right? The whole world was only created for the Jewish people that are called Rashis, and for the Torah that's called Rashis. Im le brisi yom of a laila chuka shemayim v'aretz le samti. Lo yadafka she'erich ha'mayim shele matzui. Aliyato birkato, o yiridato v'kil kalato. Right? It's not just that, like, the value or the worth of the level of what's found in the world, meaning its elevation and its blessing, or its descent and its being ruined. Hisrachvusay or yismatusay, it's being widened and expanded or being diminished. It's not just those. It's not just the degrees of things, right? Shetali bebechirasam atahiri shel Yisrael, that are dependent on the pure bechir of the Jewish people. Ele shegam etzem amitzius, but rather the very essence, the very existence itself. The heder shekola yekum, or the lack of something of existence of the entire universe, nitle pehem, is dependent on the Jewish people. Va'asim dvarai beficha, I'll put my words in your mouth, which is the Torah. Uvetzel yadiki sisicha, and I cover you in the shadow of my hands. Lintoya shamayim v'lisidor, to sort of see, plant, to sow the heavens and found the earth. To say to Tzion, you are my nation. Meaning, you see, that Klal Yisrael is part of the process of Netiyas HaShamayim and Yisrael Aretz, of giving the heavens and the earth existence. Etzem HaChayim Shel Kol HaYekum HaYemeim Atzmam Gam Shifas HaBechira. The Etzem HaChayim, the very life of the whole universe, is itself coming from the spiritual flow of Bechira. Ta'ut yisoditi ha'machshava she'etzem kiyuman shel ha'tov v'ra he mechutz l'chug ha'adam. This is unbelievable what he says here. It is a fundamental mistake that the thought that the very existence of good and evil are outside of man's chug, meaning outside of man's ability to influence, to think, right, that thought that the very existence of good and bad is outside of our realm is a fundamental mistake. And to think that in their secret bechira can't come, it has no, you don't have the ability to be boicher that good should exist or not exist. You have the ability to be boicher whether to do the good or to do the bad, but the very existence of the good or bad, many people, probably mostly everyone, thinks is out of our hands. That's not totally in me. No. Says Rabbi Yaakov Meir, that's a fundamental mistake to think that that's so. And to think that the only thing given over to us is what to choose in this or that, and not in their very existence. Really, the very boundary of the schus of bechira, who are be yoter gadol v'yoter rachav mizeh, is way greater, way wider than this. Shegam bedvar etzem kiyumun emetzias hamshachos and yesh lahav bechira schus shaletet, that in the very existence of their kiyum, in the very essence of their kiyum, and the metzias hamshachos, and in their continuing existence, yesh la bechira schus shaletet, the bechira has a controlling schus. It's a controlling ability. V'chol toichen magamaseinu, and the whole content of our aim, of our goal, hu ach lahosif u'lagbir etzeinis l'toiv, is just to add and to empower the wills for good, kidei lamtzi et hatov, in order to be mansi the tov, in order to give mitzias to tov, in order to make tov, uleshachloi, right, and to perfect it, right, to make it greater, to make it more, vilatet lo kium nitzchi, and to give it an everlasting existence, vilishlol, and on the other side, to negate, to reject, ulevatel, and to nullify, kol rotzen v'netiyah l'mashu hefech hatov, any will and any tendency to what's the opposite of good, kidei lishlol et kol kium ha-metzius shel hara, in order to reject any existence or continue existence of evil, bli lashir lo shem v'she'eris, so as not to leave it any name or any remnants, to get rid of it completely. Okay, I think that we will stop here. This is just the opening remarks, but this is certainly where it connects to the thing that we saw in Mimram Chelek Aleph, right? That there's this power of creation in our Etzem Harotzen and in our Etzem Bechira. This will form the base of what he's going to explain, Rav Kook is trying to do in these somewhat odd passages that do require understanding and expansion of where he's coming from. Okay, we'll stop for now.